Well, of course, the one book that I'm going to be buying for everybody on my Christmas list, and I hope they're just not listening to this podcast because otherwise the surprise will be gone. But of course, I think I'll be buying everybody a copy of this wonderful ebook called How the Bible Changed Our Lives Mostly for the Better. I think people like that kind of holiday proselytizing, don't they?
I think it's the perfect kind of gift to give to somebody you care about, but not that much.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 367, Books We Want. Our run here at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, Reed Martin, Dominic Conti, and I spend a lot of time in the dressing room talking about what movies we've seen, what TV shows we've been binge-watching, and what books we've read. And this being the holidays, we decided to share with you all the books we most want to get, either for ourselves or to give to someone else. Obviously, we had to begin with Reed's and my comically spiritual, or spiritually comic memoir, How the Bible Changed Our Lives Mostly for the Better. And before we move on to talk about other books by other authors, let's just mention the most compelling reason to buy our ebook instead.
Because it's only $4. It's $3.99, or if you go to Amazon and maybe Barnes & Noble for
$3.49.
It's perfect for the holidays because, of course, it's a book about holy days, you know. It's a book about, it's our funny look at the Bible. And at least for me, it's my own little spiritual journey. But, and Reed, you have a big spiritual journey in the book.
I do. I unknowingly stalk my pastor. And he runs away. I think it ends up in an insane asylum.
It's a cool story.
But it's all in good fun.
All in good fun. It's a perfect. I don't know how ebooks are stocking stuffers, but it is a perfect stocking stuffer. You know,
I'm kind of a bonehead. How do you give somebody an ebook? I'm sorry for having to ask this.
No, it's a good question. I think you can go to Amazon.com, for instance. I think you can go to Amazon.com. I think you can go to iTunes for an iBook. You could probably do the same thing at Barnes and Noble and gift the book. You can buy the book for somebody else, and then they
download it for themselves.
Yeah, they download it onto their thing. And you can buy it all around the world for a Kobo. Seriously, do any of you have a Kobo?
I've never even heard of Kobo, except on our site where we sell the
book. It's a weird, but some people have it, and we've sold some people who have Kobos. So, and it's on amazon.co.uk. So yes, you can get it around the world. And if you do get that book for Christmas or you give it, write a review, won't you, at iTunes or Amazon. That helps the logarithms. It does help the metrics
for these books. Well, the thing
books.
Is, somebody bought the book last Christmas, and the formatting was kind of messed up.
Yeah.
And so you might see a review that says, love the content, the formatting's messed up. That was solved a long time ago.
Yeah, that was solved within a month. Yeah, so the book is good. It's great, and it's out there. Now, I have, there's kind of three books. It's funny, I don't want any books this Christmas because I now live in a place with a fantastic public library that's three blocks away from me. And so I guess maybe I'm just getting old, I don't want clutter around. But because I love books and I already have a ton of them. One thing I already got this summer actually, was the complete works of William Shakespeare, the Folger editions, in little individual copies of them. So I'm going to work my way through them. Daisy has said that she's going to work through hers, my 13-year-old daughter, and I believe she read the first couple of pages of All's Well Then As Well.
That's good. She's going alphabetical,
yeah,
I guess.
She's going alphabetical. But Dominic, you and I were talking about this. We were talking in the wake of the Kennedy assassination. I was recommending to you, and it's a book that I would get for other people too. Is Stephen King's book 11/22/63?
That one sounds like fun.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised. I guess Stephen King never went into time travel before, but it's like many of his books, the time travel is just kind of the MacGuffin. It's just kind of it's the engine that keeps the plot going. But really, it's about this guy trying to figure out his life, and the assassination is his excuse to figure out his life. I found it moving. I found it very touching. Like I hadn't found The Dead Zone, found any of his books touching since. since the Dead, since Zone. The
yeah, Dead Zone.
Zone
is a very moving story.
And it encapsulates many of his themes, but it also felt like it also feels like he's done his research about the Kennedy assassination, and it felt very real in a very very cool and satisfying way for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
I just bought, of course, as I'm sure all of our listeners buy every year, the Bill James 2014 Baseball Handbook with all the stats from last year and projections for pitchers and catchers for next year. But so you're all ready for your fantasy draft.
But you can't get that for me because I already have that.
Well, I know. Most people already have it.
Oh, you bought it as a present for yourself.
I did. Yeah, so I've been going through that. Yu Darvish is on the cover. Of course, the Japanese import who pitches brilliantly for the Texas Rangers. But, of course, Austin, you would know that.
He's a whirling Darvish. That's what I call him.
Yes. I just ordered, but haven't started it yet. Trav SD is a...
fake name.
Yeah.
Travesty.
Yeah, Trav SD.
Oh,
yeah, it is a fake name.
Oh, I was kidding.
It's his nom de plume.
I was kidding.
Yeah,
okay.
And he writes about vaudeville. He wrote a book, the book that made... No Applause, Throw Money, the book that made vaudeville famous. He's just come out with a new one called Chain of Fools. Traces the art of slapstick comedy from its pre-cinema origins in the ancient pantomime through its silent movie heyday in the teens and 20s. Then on to
writing this down right now. This sounds excellent.
Yeah. Talkies, television, and the internet.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking forward to reading that. I'm in the middle of... I had never read... Kurt Vonnegut, Breakfast of Champions.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I'm in the middle of that.
Yes.
And I'm also in the middle of Bill Bryson's, I think it's called At Home.
Oh, right.
Where he goes through a house and how the home has evolved, how the rooms over history have evolved and what they're called and why and that sort of thing. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, that's great. Speaking of Vonnegut, I just reread Slaughterhouse Number 5 a couple years ago, and I found it, I mean, I'd read it in high school or whatever in the 70s, but I read it again, and in this new era of Twitter and Facebook statuses and low attention, quick attention spans, I found it a very modern read. It felt very, very contemporary still. So I was impressed. I could definitely recommend that. There's another book that I recommend to people. Actually, I just need to give it to people. I read it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's called The Man from Primrose Lane by James Renner. And I really can't say anything about it without giving it away. But it starts, he's a...
Rosebud.
Oh, jeez, all right.
Crap.
Never mind. It's just, Renner is largely a nonfiction writer focusing on unsolved mysteries, on cold cases and cases of abduction. Mm-hmm. And so this book starts out like a fictional version of that, and it goes in some directions you totally don't expect, but I've reread it again, and all the places it goes are absolutely prepared for, you know? So I should have seen the signs, but I didn't. But I guess if I hadn't seen the signs, I would have been pissed where it went. But I wasn't pissed where it went because clearly he had set it up for me in a way that I was unconscious of, but aware of. Unconsciously aware of, I guess.
So here's something I don't know.
Man from Primrose Lane, James Renner.
I don't know if we've talked about this, and sometimes we do these book podcasts.
Yeah.
What books have you bought that you have not cracked open?
I got for Christmas last year Michael Chabon's latest book, Telegraph Avenue, which...
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Because Telegraph Avenue is in Berkeley where we went to school.
And a
couple of times I picked it up and I almost bought it. And then I said, I don't think I'm going to read this.
Well, I like Chabon mostly. I do like Chabon. I haven't read Wonder Boys. Everybody says it's awesome. I read the first, 50 pages of it, and I just couldn't... It wasn't compelling. I kept waiting for it to start. He's so in love with his own writing. Mm-hmm. I kind of went, would you start the story, please?
It mostly pays off. It doesn't have a great ending.
But you did read it.
Yeah, I read
it. Okay.
You read Mysteries of Pittsburgh, right?
I haven't read Mysteries of Pittsburgh. Okay.
That's pretty good.
I haven't read Mysteries
Especially
of Pittsburgh.
For a first novel, but I mean, it's... Yeah, you...
That's
it's
one
got good stuff.
I also didn't read Salman Rushdie's. I got it for last Christmas. Salman Rushdie's Joseph Alton, which was his nom de hotel when he would check in when it was under the fatwa. It's just sitting there thickly on my desk, and it's just I haven't picked it up because it's been a busy year, but I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've got... Well, when I bought Breakfast of Champions, I also bought Slaughterhouse 5, so I haven't cracked it, but that's just because I'm reading Breakfast of Champions. I'd been waiting for the Steve Jobs book.
Yeah.
Walter Isaacson.
Yeah.
To come out in paperback.
Right.
And it took forever. It took, I think, over 2 years. And it finally came out, and I bought it, and I can't... I'm not as interested.
Not any fun?
I haven't cracked it yet. I just, it's a big old book, and I go, you know what? I'm just not sure I'm so as interested in Steve Jobs as I thought I would be.
It's there.
I haven't picked it up either because I think everything I want to know about Steve Jobs, I kind of already know. Because I'm not that interested, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't know. I liked Walter Isaacson's previous book about Benjamin Franklin a lot, but I didn't know much about Benjamin Franklin. So that was interesting.
I got another one, which is the first Stephen Sondheim. What is it? Finishing the Hat?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I mostly read when we're on tour, and that's a big old hardcover book. When I'm home, I'm so busy I don't read as much. So that's one that I have cracked, but I haven't gotten through.
So here's
my other question. What do you want that you haven't bought yet?
I'm waiting for Sam Lipsight's newest collection of short stories. His other collection was many, many years ago, but that was Venus Drive. And he's also wrote The Subject Steve and Homeland and The Ask. So this new one, it has a name, but it's just his newest collection of short stories. As far as I know, it's the newest.
Okay.
And so I'm eagerly awaiting when that shows up. He's one of my favorite living writers for sure.
What's his name again?
Sam Lipsight. Lipsyte.
Cool.
I just saw at Barnes & Noble last year's Stephen Colbert book. I loved I Am America and So Can You, and which just sits in our bathroom, and I read and reread, and I always find new stuff, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bought... Rebecoming, what is it, America Rebecoming the Greatness That We Never Weren't?
Right.
Which is not as good. I mean, I love Stephen Colbert on TV. I loved his first book. Yeah. I can't really recommend the second one.
I couldn't read the second Daily Show book either, whatever it was called, The Planet, Earth, The Planet, or whatever. For me, I like a story. I don't like a sketch comedy, but I mean, I like a story to be, it could be funny. In fact, one of the other books I would heartily give to anybody or recommend to anybody is, we interviewed Christopher Moore last week, his novel Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. It's the story of Jesus, told in Christopher Moore's very, very funny voice from his point of view. And he makes he talks about Jesus' missing years in ways that I find wholly credible. I didn't mean that as a pun.
Hello, my name is Eric Essex, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, you can see us perform the final performance of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged this year in Reston, Virginia. And until December 29th, you can see us perform the world premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to more books we want to give to others.
The other book I would recommend heartily is a lot of people. I saw it on at least two top 10 lists. Kate Atkinson's Life After Life, which is a little bit like Groundhog Day meets Downton Abbey, which is very reductive and not helpful, really, but that sort of describes what it is. It doesn't describe at all how sort of moving and strange and weird it is. So that's me.
Well, here's three books I would like to get.
Okay.
I would like to get Reza Eslan's Zealot.
Yeah.
The book of the historical Jesus. Mm-hmm. I would like to get Chris Matthews' book about Reagan and Tip O'Neill, how a Republican and Democrat worked together to get things done. Wouldn't that be refreshing? and this new book about Teddy Roosevelt and Grover Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, by Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Dom, what are you looking for on your list? Because all these listeners are going to start buying books and mailing them to us.
Well, I'm behind. I thought they were just going to take our recommendations. You're going to go one step further.
Oh, absolutely. I'm 100% convinced.
Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. Send me your book.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be here till the 29th.
I've got the time. I'm all Netflixed out. You know what? There's a couple. I'm behind on my Don DeLillo's.
That's a book that I should get out from the library is Dom DeLittle's, what's his book about the Kennedy assassination?
Libra.
Oh, everybody
Libra
raves.
Is very fine.
Everybody raves. And that's a book I absolutely should check out of the library and get.
Oh, yeah. I wholeheartedly recommend it.
And did you guys know that young Brent Tubbs wrote a book?
I did.
Yeah? Wait, I could talk to him. He's written a book.
So we're talking about what our favorite holiday books are, and it turns out that you
Brent Tubbs, have actually written a book.
That's true, yes.
And more importantly, it's been published and it's out there available for people. What is it?
I call it a young adult novel, but that kind of falls under that same category as, you know, like The Hunger Games, where it, you know, Hunger Games is classified as a young adult novel. However, it's a bunch of kids killing kids. So, it's how young are we actually going here?
Well, gee, I can only hope that your young adult novel features children killing children.
No, not so much.
All right, what's it called?
It's called Tusa, which is Irish for you. It just means you.
Oh.
And so the whole idea of this book was that I used to love reading the, you know, pick your own adventure books where you're kind of in control. So. The whole idea of this book kind of came about of immersing the reader even more, where the main character, the story starts, and the main character finds this book, and as he starts reading it, he's realizing that the book is saying his exact thoughts and actions. And as you read, you kind of discover that you are reading the exact same book that he's reading. So that was kind of what sparked the idea for a book at all, and then it just kind of went from there, and the book becomes a sort of a treasure map of sorts for the main character, and gives him clues at points to help him along, so to speak, and it's a real fun action adventure. I've been saying that it's like the Goonies meets the Da Vinci Code, which is such a cliche because everything meets the Da Vinci Code.
Right. but it's a cliche that works in your favor. But I apologize. I haven't read it. I guess my reviewer's copy got lost in the mail somewhere. I don't know what happened. but what I love about the notion about it is that it's, you know, in this modern age where kids are finding interactive games on electronic equipment, you've written a book, which a book is in a book in theater is like are the original interactive technologies, but you've taken this book to be one step further, even more interactive, which I love that notion.
Yeah, and early on, that was kind of the whole idea, but then it became a sort of goal to keep it that way, so you don't even actually find out what the main character's name is until the end of the book, to make it feel even more like the reader is the main character.
Cool. And have your kids read it? Have you read it to your kids?
I haven't. It's a little advanced for them still.
Okay. All right.
They're still working on their popcorn words.
What and how can people order the book? Where can they find it?
It's available on lulu.com. It's lulu.com.
Cool.
And then once you get there, you can just search either Tusa, T-U-S-A, or my name. And it should pop up. Unless they live in the Quad City area, then you can find it at your local book rack. Davenport or Moline.
Oh, cool. And or you could just run one over to their house.
Right. Yes. Or I could drop a copy off at your doorstep.
Yes. Well, you are a full service author. Well, dude, congratulations. That's very, very awesome.
Thank you. Yes. And I'm working on book two as we speak. So.
It's a series.
It will be a series. Yeah.
Oh, well, all right. Well, you'll definitely have to keep me posted about all of that.
Yes. Will do.
All right, cool. Thank you, Mr. Tubbs.
Thank you, Mr. Kitchener.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. The books we discussed this week include the Folger Shakespeare Library editions of the complete works of William Shakespeare, 112263 by Stephen King, the Bill James 2014 Baseball Handbook, Chain of Fools by Trav S. D.,
Breakfast of Champions, and Slaughterhouse Number 5 by Kurt Vonnegut, At Home by Bill Bryson, The Man from Primrose Lane by James Renner, Walter Isaacson's biographies of Steve Jobs and Benjamin Franklin, Finishing the Hat by Stephen Sondheim, Venus Drive, The Subject Steve, The Ask, and Homeland by Sam Lipsight, I Am America and So Can You by Stephen Colbert, Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal by Christopher Moore, Life After Life by Kate Atkinson, Zealot by Reza Aslan, Tip and the Gipper by Chris Matthews, The Bully Pulpit by Doris Kearns Goodwin, Libra by Dom DeLillo, Tusa by our very own Brent Tubbs, and of course, arguably the funniest and definitely the cheapest book of them all, How the Bible Changed Our Lives, Mostly for the Better. Send us your book buying ideas via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, author Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and this week, music also by Eric Essex, whose holiday album, My Gift to You, is on constant rotation in our house this time of year, and is also now available on iTunes, Amazon, and CD Baby. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Caroline Kasdanash. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks again to Eric Essex, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 367 1101ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.